One Friday, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we had all the Newman kids here. I think I alluded to that last week. So kindergartners through the seniors, and it was a packed house, very beautiful. It was an honor to host them here. And Father Eric Mashak is the chaplain at Newman, so he gave the homily. He did a really nice job because he kind of came out, and he has a nice way of, well, he's got a nice soft voice, a nice smooth delivery, a slow cadence. He sounds a little bit like this. When I was young, I had two dogs. One dog was a good dog, and the other dog was a bad dog. And he really, I mean, you could tell, yeah, the kids rapt attention, that they were all listening. And he went on, that's true what I just said. And he went on and made a point, and then he had another image of a boy asking a girl out on prom, and he somehow weaved this all into the mystery that Mary was given a prevenient grace. She was protected from original sin. And so the whole goal, of course, is to help people see Advent and the mystery of God through the eyes of a child. That's why the church, every year, she goes back to the beginning. And because all of us are supposed to be a child, innocent and pure and full of wonder on the inside. We get older, I know, on the outside, but unless we have those eyes of a child and a heart ready to receive, we might miss the mystery which is passing through our midst. And so, for example, the church will tell us, like, well, way back in the beginning, something went wrong, but God had a plan for rescuing us, for saving us. He said, it's not too late for you to have hope. So in the meantime, he had teachers, prophets, we call them, and the most preeminent for us, especially this time of the year, is Isaiah. And Isaiah is talking about make the crooked ways straight, fill in the valleys, get yourselves ready. And then Isaiah even goes on to predict the last prophet, right before the Messiah comes, he's going to look like this. And he describes, and you can hear it in the gospel, this guy who's different, who's full of self-denial, lives a very challenging, rigorous life so that he can be available to God. And he starts to baptize. He can't wash away sin, nobody, but God can. And of course, John the Baptist is the one. The forerunner, he alerts us that something is about to happen. In the meantime, we have to wait, and we don't like that as human beings. Why do we have to wait? How was that St. Mary's a week ago for their preparation for the Immaculate Conception? That's their patronal feast, so I had to give a little homily, and I use this, well, it's a scene from the last of the Anne of Green Gables books written by Ellen Montgomery. And, well, by this point, Anne is raising her family, and the two boys get conscripted into the military. They're sent off. It's World War I. It's a tough book, especially if you're a mom, because it's full of anxiety and fear. And these boys, they go down to the train station to enlist and to go serve their country. And the one boy, Jim, he's got a dog. And the dog follows him to the train station. They get on the train, and the dog, he stays there. Weeks become months, become years. And that dog never abandons his post. The one boy is killed. The other, Jimmy, is missing in action. And that dog gets older and full of arthritis. He can barely move, but he waits. And then one day, wouldn't you know it, a stranger gets off that train. But he's not a stranger to the dog, who knows him instantly. And he jumps up and starts barking and running around. He's young again. And why would he wait? Except that he thought Jimmy was worth waiting for. And that's the way we feel about the Messiah. We feel that God has a promise and he's going to keep it. And so we wait with hope, not out of despair or depression, but knowing the light will dispel darkness. We have to have these eyes of a child so we can see the mystery and have a great hope and a great expectation. Now, John the Baptist, say what you will, he's an illustration of how life goes. The mystery of life, it's a gift, it's a cross, it's a blessing. Sometimes it feels like a curse. John the Baptist, he has this experience of God. It happens in his mother's womb. He jumps, and then Elizabeth, his mama, knows something is different. And she says to Mary, who am I that the mother of my Savior should come to me? John the Baptist has this great moment, but then, well, he's out there proclaiming the gospel. He's proclaiming the Christ who's going to come. And then for his trouble, he gets arrested. And that's when he has his dark night, his moment of doubt, which all of us, it seems, we have to pass through. There's faith and then there's fear. And if we give fear place, it begins to expand and run through our veins and pretty soon fill our hearts and our minds. But John the Baptist is assured. Jesus said, tell him what you see, that the sick are healed, the blind are cured, the mute can speak. I was thinking of my dad, you know, that analogously, like everybody's life, we go through these things. And when he came home from his service in Korea, he bought this farm just down the road from where he grew up. He bought it from these brothers, Tom and Sam Walker. My brother and I are named after them, my older brother Tom, and my name is Sam. Anyway, that dad wanted to be a good steward. He wanted to make that farm, he wanted to leave it better than he found it. And boy, my dad worked hard, and so did we. And in one of his projects, at one point, there was this valley, it was all wooded, and he thought, well, we could clean that up. That could be fertile farmland. We could raise more food, serve more people. And so he brought this guy in, and he brought his bulldozer, and he cut all the trees and cleared all the land and burned all the brush. And then dad said, I got a job for you, picking rock, which was a wonderful job. We got to do that. It seems like when, you know, you're a kid, it seemed like it lasted for a decade. We're out there, and more rocks you picked, next year there'd be more of them, like they were growing somehow. And after all this, I remember one time I even had to miss a Little League baseball game because we had to pick rock. Man, I was sore about that. Anyway, at the end of all this, Dad, well, he plants it to alfalfa, cuts it, tries to bale it. And after a couple years, he said, way too steep. That valley, somebody's going to flip a tractor over. So he and Mom went out, and they planted the whole thing back to trees. Funny how life goes, isn't it? I mean, he worked so hard, and I think that my dad probably felt like he had failed. I was out in that same place, my brother's on the farm, and I was there the day after Thanksgiving. I was sitting on the deer stand, looking out over that valley, remembering all that we poured into it. And sometimes, no matter how hard you try, life just doesn't go the way you want. There are no assurances. Just because I give it my best, it's going to turn out the way I want. No, life has many heartaches. Dad tried so hard to make that valley fertile, fruitful, something that would be productive. And I think that in his own heart, he felt like he had failed. Later on, he took the chainsaw out there one day, and he cut down a lot of those white pines that we had planted. We never knew why, except that maybe he thought, you know, I'll give it all back to you, God. Anyway, now that I'm older, I look back, and Dad didn't fail at all. No one that gives their best is ever a failure, not in God's eyes. Because whatever you say about our efforts and our work and our labor and our suffering, it forged deep bonds between my mom and dad and my brother and I. We worked hard and we suffered, and it made us close to the land and to each other. That's why prayer together in a community, we come here week after week, we pour out our suffering in the chalice, and we're better for it, stronger and closer, remembering that life is a mystery and a gift with a purpose and a plan. To see this season, the mystery of God through the eyes of a kid, right? That's our goal. And I was remembering back when I was at Aquinas, one last story, that this girl, she was a senior, she was on the dance team, and her dad had been called up in the military. And he was in Afghanistan or Iraq, I don't remember which. And I just remember her body language. She was really sad. She knew that probably the first time in her life she'd spend Christmas without her dad, and I think they were pretty close. Anyway, it was a basketball game right before a Christmas break, and I could see her warming up, and her body language was just, she did her best to look happy, but you could tell her heart wasn't there. And then just before they were going to start the song and they all come running out, wouldn't you know it, I didn't know, it was a surprise to me too, in comes her dad in full army fatigues. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. It reminded us that that's the point of Christmas. A God who sent us his son, who gave us a family, who offers us hope. In the midst of a fallen world, the light will shine, and it will not be overwhelmed. To see life, the mystery, the meaning and the purpose through the eyes of a child. To remember that God so loved the world, he sent his son as a child. And that son has conquered, redeemed by his cross and by his resurrection.